Welcome back to the Homeschool Advantage Podcast. I'm your host, Bex Buzzy. Today's guest is Tiffany Wasson. Tiffany is a speaker, photographer, and author. She's written books called Running Mascara and her newest one, I Quit, Confessions of an Imperfect Homeschool Mom. She homeschools two energetic boys for 6 years now. Knowing how hard it can be, she also understands how easy it can be to want to quit. But when God calls you to it, He'll equip you through it. Her desire is to encourage families to take the leap in homeschool. Tiffany wrote, I Quit, Confessions of an Imperfect Homeschool Mom, to help you step into your journey, stay the course, even when you want to pull your hair out. In her book, she shares how when you start seeing your children have aha moments or start to produce fruits from the seeds you planted, you know it is so worth it. In this episode, we talk about how homeschooling isn't this prison where everything has to be rigid and stressful. Homeschool can be a place of rest, peace, and freedom. How homeschool doesn't have to be this big, scary monster, but it can be a place of fun, freedom, and family. And that most of the time, your children tend to over-communicate in public and have to rein it in from time to time. Homeschooling does not equal children who lack social skills. So go grab your coffee, go grab your tea and a pen and paper, because you're not going to want to miss what Tiffany Wasson has to say. Let's get into the podcast. Say hello to our guests. And can you tell us a fun fact about the writing process that I feel like maybe most people won't know about?
Hi, everybody. It's Tiffany. My biggest thing that I want people to know about writing is the fact that it's not as difficult as it seems. Writing a book can seem super difficult because it's like, oh my goodness, how do I write 300 words? How do I get a book done? But one, it doesn't have to be as long as people think. It can be a short read. You know, I made the book that I did recently shorter for moms on the go. I didn't want them to feel like it was overwhelming to them or they could never finish it. And so I was very specific about making sure it wasn't too long. So you don't have to write anything long. If you feel like you have something to say, then you just have to make an outline like you would a college paper or high school paper, really, and work on it. I mean, it's just writing. And I think about it as a marathon. I mean, you know, marathons are run one step at a time, and that's how books are done. It's just one word at a time.
I love that.
It doesn't have to be super scary or super massive or anything like that. It's just, you know, I'm going to dedicate this time every single day to working on my craft, working on my book. And when I started out, I made a poster board. I'm a very visual person and I love poster boards and dream, you know, boards and stuff like that. So
that's cool.
Yeah, kind of a nerd in that way. But I got a poster board and I made sure that it had the book title on it, a possible book cover image. I had a picture of myself, not to be, you know, selfish, but just to like have about the author section, just to put it in front of my face every day so I could see it. And it's like, this book is going to get done because it's staring me in the face literally every day. I would have chapter ideas on there and like scripture I wanted to put underneath the chapters. Or if a story came to mind, then I would put it under that chapter, just anything, you know, and mapping it out. And the more you map it out, I mean, the easier and the quicker it kind of comes out. So it's not as difficult as people think.
A lot of things aren't as difficult as our mind makes it, right? Our mind,
it's just
really
a matter of doing it.
It really is. It's just a matter of doing it. I think our brains make things so magnanimous. Like they just make it like our brains can like take things so out of perspective sometimes. And I don't even know why that happens. It just can like really kind of get away from us and it almost paralyzes us. And we kind of want to quit from not even starting it. Honestly, like you didn't even start it. So that's a really interesting segue into your book because your book is about that. Like your book's about parents and how to help them not stop and to maintain the course. And I love your cover. I love your book. I just love how your book, like I could almost hear you talking to me. Yeah, it really felt so good as I was reading, like I was just having a conversation with you. So tell the listeners like about your book and what inspired you to write it.
Okay, so my book is called I Quit, Confessions of an Imperfect Homeschool Mom. And I was inspired to write it because I wanted to encourage other homeschool moms to feel like they could homeschool their kids. You know, whenever you look at homeschool, it can seem so daunting, like writing a book or anything else massive in our lives, or just seems unattainable, really. But as moms, not only are we women in a crazy society that we just tend to beat ourselves up constantly, we just feel inadequate. And we feel like we can't do it. And we feel like we're not enough. And, you know, God called us to homeschool as probably 6 years ago. And our oldest at the time was having issues with this graphing dyslexia and really struggling with learning. And so we decided to bring him home. And I fought it like tooth and nails with God. I'm like, I am not homeschooling my kids.
I
love
that.
You. Yeah, I was like, I love you so much, Lord. I'll do anything but homeschool my kids. But we just really felt led to bring them home. But at the time, I cried, I pitched toddler fits. I fought it the entire summer because I did build it up in my mind to be this huge thing that I just could not accomplish or I couldn't do. And so as we started homeschooling and getting a rhythm, I just really wanted to encourage other homeschool moms that yes, there are hard days and you want to pull your hair out and the kids are crying and one's in the corner and the other one's pitching a fit or, you know, not wanting to do math. But if God's called you to it, he's going to help you, you know, get through it and do it with joy and, you know, peace. And that passes all understanding. So I just want moms to know me, if I can do it and I did not want to do it, then you definitely can do it.
That's
so, yeah.
awesome. Yeah. You know, as you were talking, I was like, oh, I hear a checklist freebie, like how you can, you know, get through these things. And like, these are the different ways that you can do it. This is what I did, et cetera,
right.
You know? And I think sometimes, you know, when like a podcast or reading a book, especially the way you authored it, like so conversational. And I do feel that conversation is really a way that people feel comfortable, like listening and being part of in a podcast. Like right now, people listening and they kind of feel like, oh, I'm kind of eavesdropping on this conversation.
It's a secretive conversation. Yeah, I get it.
I'm getting the behind the scenes and all that other stuff. But as you were writing the book, you went through some challenges and everything. Like, so can you talk about those things and how you kind of overcame them and everything?
So we went through tons of different challenges. So, I mean, from, you know, learning disabilities with my oldest and then realizing my youngest has sensory processing issues, which learning more about it, I realized I also have that, you know, noises and like all the things get on my nerves. So we had learning disabilities. We had just trying to figure out a rhythm of how our homeschool day should look. You know, we're figuring out a schedule. Should it be ABCD? Should it be CDBA? You know, just what works for us. And I think the biggest thing is giving yourself time as a homeschool mom to figure it out. And that's what I've learned because, like I said, this is our 6th year of homeschooling. And I feel like we're just now getting it. Like we're just now getting into a rhythm. And that's not to make you feel like, oh my goodness, if, you know, I don't want people to be scared to homeschool just because they think it's going to take so long. But just the idea of like continuing on no matter what, because we're just now seeing the fruits of all the seeds that we planted throughout the years. My oldest is in 8th grade. My youngest is in 5th grade. And so my oldest, though, he is becoming his own person. Like he wakes up in the morning, he does his Bible reading with me. He'll go ride his bike and brush his teeth, you know, eat breakfast. And he just had this like personal routine at 8th and 8th grade, which is crazy to me to think about. Like he's a little adult at this point. And a lot of times he does it without prompting. You know, there are some days it's like, hey, have you done this? Have you done that? But it was his decision to start, you know, workout routine. You know, it was his decision to, this is the way I'm going to have my homeschool day go. So initially at first, when they're younger, yes, you have a schedule, you have a homeschool schedule, you try to stick to it. But I also wanted to work in flexibility, you know, not be so rigid. You know, if math took longer one day and we didn't get to science or reading, it's like, well, we accomplished something today because we understood math. You know, we understood this lesson, you know.
Yeah.
So I feel like homeschool is such a journey and you have to be patient with yourself. You have to be patient with your kids. You have to allow yourself time for them to understand you as their teacher, not just their mom. And then for you to understand them as a student, not just your child, because the two are totally different things. Because I can tell when my child is stepping in and when my learner is ready to learn, you know, because my child will give me attitude And it's like, well, let's put aside the attitude and just learn something new together. So it's definitely a journey. It's definitely not something that comes right away. It's just an ebb and flow of trying to figure out, okay, what does this look like? And how is this going to work for our family? And now my youngest is starting to get to the point where I was saying, okay, we're going to do math first, because I feel like your brain is more fresh in the morning. We're going to do math. And he said, well, I really want to read first. You know, like I really want to kind of want to read my book first and wake my brain up that way. And I was like, okay, you know, I mean, if you feel like that's what you need to do, then that's fine. So they're taking initiative, you know, at young ages and figuring that out. And as parents, it's easy to want to have some pushback, like, no, you're going to do it this way and, you know, my way. And I just think we as homeschool moms and Christian homeschool moms, especially, like, we're here to cultivate their calling and cultivate who they are and helping them figure out, you know, what makes them tick and how they work best. And all of that is so important. So
I agree. I agree. And yeah. I love the fact that you said it took you 6 years to start feeling like everything is kind of like the dust is settling and everything. But it's the same thing even as a regular public school teacher. It took me about 5 years to actually feel settled in what I was doing. Mm-hmm. And then again, it changed at 10 years. Then again, it changed roughly just after 20 years, it changed again. Like there's these new settle moments where you're just like, oh, because the brain is plastic, right? It's like neuroplasticity. Right. You're doing something over and over and over and over again so many times. All of a sudden, a new revelation pops up and you're like, oh my gosh, like I learned something new. I learned a different way of doing the same thing that I've been doing for a really long time, you know? So learning never really ends. And if everything is rote and exactly the same, I haven't done the same lesson ever. ever. Like I don't think I've done the same lesson ever. I might have done a similar lesson and like developed it, made it better, added things to it. So I might have taught maybe about kelp forest or whatever I was taught teaching.
Right.
But I added new things to really like spice it up, make it more exciting, make it more fun. And not for the kids, honestly, it's really for me.
For myself. For my sanity, I'm not doing this the same way over and over again. But too, you learn that like each class is different and each child is different and what works for him may not work for the other. And I mean, I have noticed hands down, like how different my boys are. You know, my oldest dealt with dysgraphia and dyslexia and really struggled with math. And I didn't know how much of a struggle it was for him until I talked to my youngest and he just picked up right away.
Yeah.
But the child hates all things school. Like he hates it. But I'm like, buddy, if you wouldn't argue with me for an hour and a half and just do your math lesson, you'd be done in 20 minutes because you're really great at math, you know? But
I remember that in your book, actually.
Yes. Totally different dynamic. One is very independent. You know, can do things on his own, gives everything that he's got and not everything, but a lot of things become difficult to him. But he really does anything I ask him. He does it with a smile on his face. And the other one's fighting me tooth and nail. Like he doesn't want to do anything related to school. He just wants to be a butterfly outside, you know, flapping in the wind. And he just doesn't care about it, man. He could care less. And I'm like, well, if you want to play basketball for college, like whatever you want to do, you got to learn to read and write and, you know, do these things. So we're going to do it together and have a smile on our face, you know?
Yeah, that's so funny.
Yeah, they're so different. So different. And that's like what you learned in teaching. Like all these kids, all of us are different. Our brains are so different. Like our fingertips are different. We have different fingerprints. And I don't know how we expect the brain to be any different than that. All of us are wired in such a unique way. So,
you know, thinking back now, I'm actually asking you, like thinking back now when you were fighting against teaching your boys, are you glad that you didn't win the fight?
Yes. You know, I don't know why I was fighting it so hard. I think that I just never saw myself as a homeschool stay-at-home mom. You know, I always saw myself in ministry, in a church, or preaching, teaching, and doing all those things.
You
and
are.
So, well, I am. And it is ministry.
Big time.
But, you know, it's just, you know, like when you start growing up and you think, this is not how I expect my life to be. But now I look back and it's like, I wouldn't have had it any other way. Like, I'm so thankful that God has been so patient with me, patient with my fighting and toddler fits and no, I'm not doing this. And, you know, snapping my finger, I am not doing this. And he's like, yes, you are. I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful we stuck it out. I'm so thankful that he's given me, you know, there were so many moments that I was like, I'm done. Like, I did not think that reading with my youngest would break me, but it was really difficult. And I was like, Lord, I'm about to put him in school. I can't do this anymore. Like, I am done. But he really does give you grace and mercy for every single day. Every single moment, even I've had to say the name of Jesus so many times so that I would not give up and just extend grace. And, you know, okay, we're having a bad day today. We'll try again tomorrow, you know.
So, yeah. So yeah. getting back into your book, is there like a chapter in your book that you really enjoyed writing and you just felt like, oof, this is where it's at?
Okay. I enjoyed writing all of it just because it was super fun. I really, truly did. But I think the one that meant the most to me is keeping Jesus the center focus of your family. Because as homeschool parents, it's so easy because you have all this freedom. I mean, homeschool is freedom. You get to choose, like a kid in a candy store, all the things that you want to do. Wow. You know, you can do the piano lessons, you can do theater, you can do all the extracurricular activities, basketball, baseball, and run them from here to here, but you're running them ragged and you're not necessarily teaching them how to be good people, you know? You know, we can be so involved in stuff, but like, are we reminding them of the heart of Jesus and who he is and how to show him to the world no matter what we're doing? And there are busy seasons. We have busy seasons where we are involved in a lot, but I have to ask myself, you know, are we doing too much? Do we need to pull back? Have we even read our Bible together this week? Mm-hmm. Are we meditating on him day and night? And I feel like there's a breaking point. It's like, you know, we're tired, we're arguing, we're not being like Jesus people at all. We're putting him in the corner, you know, and just living our best life and being mad at each other and tired and frustrated. And, you know, so when you start seeing all those signs, it's, you know, you have to ask yourself, what am I really doing, you know, to my kids? And those are hard questions to ask because you want them to be well-rounded and involved in everything and have those, you know, dreams and aspirations, but you don't want them to be so weighed down that they can't even function or even think about Jesus and who he is. So that was probably the most challenging chapter that I wrote, but also the one that meant the most to me. And even it challenged me as I was writing it, you know. It's like, I'm not just telling you people this, I'm telling it to myself, you know. So just a good reminder of how to live. So.
That's awesome. Yeah, you know, I agree. Like, even I don't have kids yet. And when I think about my day as well and how I go about things, and you can get so, so busy and you can be like, oh my gosh, did I forget Jesus? Did I forget the Lord today? It's like, you know, because I make, you know, my live, my breathe, my being comes from him. And, you know, there are plenty of times that even though like I don't have kids, and I was able to relate in your book because of the rawness of just the nature of being a human, a woman after God's heart, you know, and we all get that moment where like, I'm done. Like, I'm done. Like, I don't want to do this anymore. Let's just do something else. Like,
anything else.
Anything, anything. Anything. Let's sell everything in the house. I guess this is me. Yes. This is me right now. Like, let's sell every single thing in the house and let's just buy over again. Yeah. To me, I'm like that. Like, I'll be like, in fact, my husband's going on a men's retreat and I have literally been like, okay, what am I going to sell while he's gone?
Right.
I can just see something
I've been
different.
The same way. Like, we just need to sell everything and start anew because I mean, not only have I changed, but you know, just the things I like has changed and I'm a totally different person. So it's like, let's just gut everything out and start over. Yeah.
I totally get it.
Let's just move on.
Yeah.
Next slide. Let's move on.
I love it. And I love the name of your book, The Confessions of an Imperfect Homeschool Mom. Yeah. You know, I quit. Huge, like, just I'm done. And I really do believe a lot of moms are going to like relate to it. And I love your picture in the front because actually you look like a teenager there.
Oh my goodness. So a couple people actually thought I was Amy Palmer. And I was like, you know, I'm not really mad at that because if people think it's her, maybe they'll be more likely to pick it up and read it.
Oh my gosh. I love it.
But that was through trial and error. My friend Anthony Rod and his beautiful wife, Brittany, they helped me take so many pictures to get that down. I had a group of people behind the scenes that were giving me input, you know, about different pictures and if this was a good picture cover or whatever. So through a lot of goodness, it was a lot of pictures. We finally captured that. It's actually two pictures like overlaid on top of one another.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So originally I wasn't so big and then I was in the center of the boys, but Anthony's like, you kind of get lost. So he just randomly cut me out and blew me up. And he's like, this is awesome. So it just kind of worked out, but it was a fun process, but a very long process to get it right. But man, I'm so thankful for them.
Yeah, it's a really cool book. So where can people connect with you and learn more about what you do? Because you do speak, right? Like you do come and do speaking and you do book signings and podcasts and different things. So where can people connect with you?
So you can go to my website at tiffanywasson.com. You can email me there if you would like. Everything else is author Tiffany Wasson. So Facebook, Instagram, author Tiffany Wasson. You can even email me at authortiffanywasson@gmail.com. And I even have a Spotify playlist. I have like worship music. I have praise music. I have a couple workout ones, like one's more rap, one's more rock, because I like rap and rock Christian stuff. And then I have an oldies playlist that my kids and I love to dance to.
What's oldies for you?
So oldies, like in the 50s, like
okay, 50s, good,
60s, 70s. Yeah. So some old stuff, like my dad and I used to listen to in the car and jam together. But we just honestly, like music is such a big part of our life, whether it's worship or dance breaks during homeschool. The kitchen is one of our favorite places to dance. So, I mean, we'll just blast the music and okay, we're going to take a pause and we're going to have a dance break and let it all out, you know?
I love
that. So it's kind of, So I have that as well. But yes, author Tiffany Wasson on Instagram, Facebook, and then tiffanywasson.com.
I'll put it in your show notes so that way everybody can just click and go.
Okay, awesome.
Awesome.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
Yeah. As we're wrapping up, Tiffany, what is one big takeaway you want to leave with our listeners today?
I would say the biggest takeaway is that, you know, don't beat yourself up as a homeschool parent. You have to learn, you know, as much we are so good at giving grace to other people. Maybe you're not. Maybe you're one of those people that you hold grudges really, really well. But a lot of us, you know, we're so easy to forgive others, but we are not super patient with ourselves. And I would say to, you know, be patient with yourself, give yourself grace, and also your kids. They have bad days just like everyone else. And they're going to be grumpy some days just like everyone else. And I had to start telling myself, you know, I'd get frustrated during doing math or, you know, something. And I thought, if I was sitting with someone else's child, would I be acting this way right now? And I just realized I wouldn't be. I would be more patient. I would be more kind. I would be more loving and understanding. And so I had to start approaching my kids as if they were somebody else's kid.
Wow.
And realizing that, man, if this was somebody else's kids, I would extend so much more grace. And I think, you know, being their mom and their parent and their, well, you know, their mom, you are the parent, but their mom and the homeschool mom, you know, and finding this balance between the two, like learning just to be their mom sometimes and not always their homeschool mom. It's so easy to drive, like, you got to do this, you got to do this, you got to do this. But have I hugged you today? Have I asked you how your heart is today? Have I asked you what you're thinking about today? And so, man, just grace, just pour on all the grace on yourself, on your family, on your husband, on your children, because we are so, so quick to give it out to everyone else. So that's the biggest thing, I think.
I love that. I love that. That's beautiful. Mm-hmm. Tiffany, it's been amazing just being able to spend this time with you today. Thank you so much for coming
on. Thank you so much. Thank you for having me, man. I'm so excited to be here.
Oh, it's awesome. Hopefully we get more chats like this.
I would love that.
If you love the conversations we're having here on the Homeschool Advantage podcast, follow or subscribe our podcast to stay in the loop and never miss this amazing content. And please highly consider taking a minute to leave a positive rating and review to help others like you discover this show. See you next time.